Good morning, brothers and sisters in Mississauga Christ-like Community Church. Greetings from Rosewood Baptist Church. We wish you all good, especially in these days. It is good that we meet again, but I wish I could see you all face to face and greet each other before service. I'm looking forward to this, and we all pray that this difficult time would be gone soon. Now, this COVID-19 started from the end of last year. Then there was an outbreak in China, Wuhan. Then the virus spread to Thailand, Japan, Korea, Italy, Iran, then all over the world. Canada had the first confirmed case on January 25th. Canadians didn't respond to it too vigorously because the virus came with the person who flew all the way from China, means that we knew where the source was. All we are afraid of is person-to-person spread and community spread. Now, the number of confirmed cases increased gradually in Canada until March the 11th. On March the 11th, after confirming over 118,000 cases, countries, the World Health Organization evaluated the status to a pandemic. It seems to me everything has changed once WHO made the declaration. People started to line up for food. School needs to be closed until April 5th. The whole environment and atmosphere made people anxious. Now, let me tell you, now people cannot think once they get into fear or anxious emotion. End up, those people will be the follower led by the situation. Only those who stay calm and remain independent thinking can lead and overcome the situation. So to you all, stay calm and take good care of yourselves. Now today, the whole world is in deep fear of the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, this is not the first time of pandemic in human history. Now I would like to share with you two stories today. The first one is in the story, is in the Bible, back to 40 years of Israelites in the wilderness. And the second one is the story happened in the town called Oberammergau in 1633. The book of Numbers, chapter 21, describes what had happened in the old days. Then they traveled from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people wanted to give up because of the long way. They spoke against God and Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? For there is no food and no water, and we hate this bad food." Then the Lord sent snakes with a bite of poison among the people. They bit the people so that many of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the snakes from us." So Moses prayed it for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a special snake and put it up on a long piece of wood. Everyone who is bitten will live when he looks at it." So Moses made a brass snake and put it up on the long piece of wood. If a snake bit any man, he would live when he looked at the brass snake. Now the context of the story is Israelites refused to get into the promised land. God didn't force them to do so. Instead, God gave them some time and led them to the promised land through another route. They started 40 years in the wilderness. It is not easy to keep on walking every day, especially there were full of rocks and sands on the ground without clear path. they were impatient to the long journey and started to complain. All they saw was difficulties. They were afraid of just died in the desert. There was no hope to them. It seemed that death in the desert was the only way out. They complained there was no food and no water. They forgot about how God led them to get water and gave them manna for food. Then God gave them quail when they requested meat. They considered manna and quail were bad food. Then the Lord sent snake to bite them. The snake were poison. People died after getting bite. I believe lots of people died because of that. Sooner or later, Israelites realized what happened because of sinning. And they knew what was causing that. Then they prayed to the Lord. Lord asked Moses to make a special snake and put it up on a long piece of wood. For those who were hurt would get cured by just looking at the brass snake. So this is what the logo of the WHO looks like. Now, when I analyze this story in depth, I can summarize it into the following 5 points. Now, first of all, Israelites sinned. Secondly, the Lord sent effective punishment. Thirdly, Israelites realized what causing the plague. Fourthly, Israelites repented and prayed to the Lord. The last but not the least, God sent salvation. Now, the Bible emphasized sin, not crime. Crime is tangible, and sin is intangible. Sin is a kind of thoughts, and crime is an action. People carry out crime because of sin. Now, remember, at the time God created all things, they are all good. It was so good that even God sits down on the seventh day of the week to look at all his creations. Now, I believe if the creation was not good enough, God would keep working on it. Then we might have 8 or even 10 days for a week time. God sets up a perfect environment for human beings. Adam did not need to farm. All he needed to do was cutting the lawn. God told Adam what to do and what not to do. So as long as Adam follows the instruction from God, he should be fine. Unfortunately, Eve followed the shepherd. It is very clear that Adam and Eve sinned because they didn't follow God's instruction. God asked Israelites to get into the promised land. They were afraid of those giants and refused to go. They didn't follow God's instruction. God gave them another chance, gave them 40 years to prepare getting into promised land. God provided water and food, which means basic needs to them. They complained, those who were bad food, they did not obey. Then Lot sent effective punishment. Now, what I mean effective punishment is the punishment really hurts. Now, for example, once I was stopped by a police officer on the road because of speeding. The police officer said I was driving at 75 km per hour on a road with speed limited to only 50 km per hour. I said I was sorry because there was no traffic on the road, so it was just an accident pushing too hard onto the gas pedal. The police officer said he needed to give me a ticket on that, but he said he would say I had speeding to 65 km per hour only so that I can just go pay the fine without demerit points deduction. Now to me, because I have no money, So fine is an effective punishment already. It hurts and keeps me alert when driving. Now some of the people have money, So fine doesn't hurt them at all, but demerit point deduction does. Demerit point system affects our driving record. In turn, the insurance company will increase the insurance premium, or maybe no insurance company would like to insure your car. Then you cannot drive. Now to Israelites, losing life was an effective punishment. Because of lots of people died, it triggered Israelites to think about what has happened. People see punishment is bad. In fact, people are getting benefit from punishment. Punishment made people to think about what's wrong and avoid committing the same mistake again. Israelites took the lesson and response. Now Israelites said to Moses that they sinned. Now I believe they really learned a lesson because they sincerely knew what they sinned. They were not lip-singing. They realized spoke against the Lord and Moses was sin. Now let me ask, how many of you really feel guilty when you say sorry to people? Now a lot of times that we say sorry are just because of trying to avoid further punishment. Okay, we really don't mean it. And it is possible that we mean it at the time we say sorry, but we forgot about it and commit the wrong thing again and again. Now then this is another story. Okay. Therefore, it would be great if we can really figure out what's wrong and remember not to do it again. People are looking for forgiveness. Now forgiveness is always come with repentance. Forgiveness without repentance is meaningless. For instance, you get offended by your friend. He came to say sorry to you and ask for your forgiveness. It is because you are friend with him and do not want to break the relationship, so you forgive him. Now, what if he keeps on doing the same thing to you again and again? You forgive him and expecting he is not doing it again. So now, are you going to forgive him again and again? Most likely not. Israelites were supposed to follow Moses and God. They had spoken against Moses and God. They went back to Moses to tell him they sinned. They asked Moses to pray to the Lord to ask for forgiveness and salvation. Now, it is not surprised that God sent salvation. God's salvation is always free. God didn't ask Israelites to fulfill the Ten Commandments before leading them out of Egypt. God didn't ask Israelites to do anything before they get saved in Judges. God didn't ask any one of us to do anything before sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us. The same thing that God didn't ask Israel stop speaking against God and Moses before he asked Moses to raise up a brass snake. Now, another point we have to pay attention is he would live when he looked at the brass snake. Means people have choices on taking the salvation or not. The salvation is there. People take it or not is their choice. The brass snake was there, but only those willing to look up to the snake get saved. It is the same as Jesus Christ died on the cross, resurrected and raised to the heaven. Only people believe in Jesus Christ get resurrected after death and get into the heaven. You may find the example in the Bible is too old. You still don't find it related to you. Then, let me give you another example back into 1633 in a small town called Oberammergau, located at southern Germany, close to Austria. During that time, the Black Plague was sweeping through Europe. At that time, no one knew what happened, why it happened. All they knew was around 50 million people died as a result of the disease. There were people died in the village of Oberammergau. One of the villagers suggested to have an opera talking about the story of Jesus Christ in the week before Black Friday. The villagers of Oberammergau vowed that if their town was spared, they would perform the Passion of Christ every 10 years. The town was spared, and it is amazing that they have been honoring this plague from generation to generation, and they are going to have Oberammergau Passion Play this year. Today, the whole world is facing the COVID-19 disease. People worry about they are going to be the next victim. People worry about they do not have enough food for the 14 days quarantine. They line up in big supermarket. People do not go shopping, dining, worship. NBA, NHL, MLB were all stopped. People worry about no monetary income because of economic goes down. The stock market gets into bear market after over 10 years of bull market because of the supply chain is broken. This virus put lots of pressure onto our economic environment. The first outbreak of COVID-19 was in China, Wuhan. There are more than 80,000 people get infected. It killed over 3,000 people. The public health system cannot handle such many patients in such a short time. The government need to build a new hospitals to accommodate patients. They strictly enforced people to stay home. After battling for 2 months, the daily newly infected people for a over 13 billion people country dropped to a single digit. On the other hand, Europe, Iran, North America is at high risk right now. Italy has over 35,000 confirmed cases with the death rate up to 8.5%. Italy has the highest death rate right now. The news reported people over the age of 65 get infected in Italy are not the first priority to cure. So if the person is under the age of 65, then it depends on how serious it is to determine they are going to receive treatment or not. Canada now has around 650 cases. It is not that much compared to the others, but lots of things have been stopped. People don't gather together to lower the chance of being infected. Those are the precautions that we need to take to ease our public health system. COVID-19 puts pressure on public health systems in countries. COVID-19 is hurting church as well. Our church was opened last Sunday. We had brother and sister ask, why don't we close our church? Now, church means a group of people belong to Christ getting together. We can have different ways to worship. We can physically go to church to worship. With the help of technology and internet, we can broadcast our worship, and brother and sister can participate remotely online. Now, for our church, has only maximum 100 people in the main sanctuary for Cantonese service, 30 people in the fellowship hall for English service. Our church is spacious enough to accommodate those numbers of people. We know those come in worship except the first-time comer. Obviously, we cannot control who they have met during the week before coming to church. Therefore, there is still a chance to get infected. But the chance of being infected in church is exactly the same as or lower than you go to work, you go shopping for groceries. The number of people line up and get gendered in Costco is way more than you come to church. We can have sitting plan in church, but there is no lineup planned in supermarket. In this difficult situation, people text me, is the church going to open for worship? I'm wondering why nobody texts me to tell me they are not coming for worship in normal days. The church close will be just an excuse for people not coming to worship. From day one of our church, we have never forced anyone to come to worship on Sunday. We missed those skiing on Sunday in winter time. We missed those fishing, golfing on Sunday in summertime. Some people really depend on Sunday worship in church to have a connection with God. There will be lots of distraction when you do online worship. When you do a search, there are tons of worship clips. So most likely, people are just using the hour to search through which is good, try this clip for 2 minutes, then look for another one. They are looking for something that they want to listen. They are not humbly waiting to see what God is going to talk to them. The situation is just like you sit down on the couch flipping your TV remote control. We believe the worship environment is very important too. A group of people to sing hymns to worship God together, the quiet environment to listen to God's word together give us a unity feeling. Last week, I was impressed when I saw people with laughter in the lobby before worship. I treasure those moments. People enjoy this feeling. Everyone has his own needs. This week, our church is closed for worship and changed to online worship as well. We do it to comply with Ontario government to put Ontario in states of emergency. I felt sad when I drove past by churches last week. There was no car in the parking lot. I thought this is what Satan happy to see. COVID-19 affects our economy, public health systems, and churches. Do you think this is an effective punishment from God? Israelites realized they sinned, but we don't today. Obviously, no sin, no punishment, no repent, and as a result, we don't cry out to the Lord. Israelites cried out to the Lord because of so many people died. When will you cry out to the Lord? Now, we don't know where the virus comes from. Some said because Chinese eat bats. Some said this is a synthetic virus. Basically, it is a biochemical weapon. Now, I'm not here to talk about this because I don't know. I don't care who started it. I just want to know how to stop it. I'm not angry to who started it because I believe there is will of God in behind. Israelites and the people in Oberammergau proved, cried out to the Lord works. The Lord protects his people. March 15 was set as National Prayer Day. United States President Donald Trump invited Anne Graham, the daughter of evangelist Bill Graham, to lead the prayer. I believe this is a good start, and this is what we need to do. Say a prayer to God, tell him that we sinned. We want to repent and ask for his forgiveness and protection. I'm sure our Lord will listen to our prayer and start to work. Now, I cannot guarantee he is going to stop COVID-19 right away, but at least he is going to give you a peace of mind and protection. Today, I have given you 2 workable examples on responding to the plague. Have you realized the difference of the follow-up between Israelites and people in Obermacell? Throughout the history, we can see God saved Israelites. But Israelites forgot about it and keep on complaining. The people in Obermacell have been honoring this plague from generation to generation for over 500 years. So, dear brothers and sisters, we don't just cry out to the Lord when we are in trouble. We keep our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure the Lord, our God, protects His people. Let us bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today's technology, that even today we cannot get together in a place for worship. But because of the internet, because of the technology, today we can still hear your word. And today we can all sit in our own area to worship you. Father, today we get hit by the COVID-19. We know that it must be because of we sinned. We don't know where this COVID-19 starts, but we know this must be a punishment from you. That today we are here, that we ask for your forgiveness. Then we ask you, Lord, to heal the whole world, to get all the people that out of the attack from the COVID-19. There might be another couple weeks or even months that to fight against this COVID-19. But we ask you, Lord, to protect us, to give us a peace of mind in this difficult situation, because all this peace is all from you, not from the world. That we ask you, Lord, to protect us, to be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.